Hello, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday, March 11, 2007. It is now 8:31 p.m. Central Time. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and applied to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Rio de Janeiro, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, please feel free to call in. The area code is 646-652-4620. I'll repeat that. Please call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments on the air. At any other time, you may call the office at 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. And, of course, you can send us email at any time to comments at libertytalkradio.com. We will try to respond to your questions during our next live broadcast. This evening, ladies and gentlemen, we will have Steve Cubby, and here he is.
Hello, I'm talking to you from on the road right by Mount Shasta. I just came from the Oregon State Convention, and I want to advise you that I'm talking to you by cell phone. If we get disconnected, I'll call you right back.
Okay, I assume you are Steve Cubby.
Yes.
Okay, Steve, could you do me a favor? Could you talk more directly into your cell phone?
Yes, how's this?
That is a little bit better. If you have a volume adjustment, if you can turn it up to make it more sensitive, because with the cell phones, we lose a little bit of voice.
Okay. How's
this? Okay, that's a little bit better. Okay, we'll turn up all our volumes up here to see if we can capture you as best as possible. Steve, thank you so much for being on Liberty Talk Radio this evening. We know Sunday evening is the time that we are winding down, not only from the week, but also the weekend. So we appreciate you taking the time to interview with us this evening.
Yes.
Steve, just to start off, can you tell our audience something about yourself, some background, please?
Well, I think my claim to fame is that I helped write and pass California's historic medical marijuana law. And like the Boston Tea Party, this is not about marijuana. This is about control over our lives. And in this instance, I was able to help write and pass a pro-freedom legislation. That's something that none of the other presidential candidates of any party can lay claim to.
Very good. I don't think you'll get any disagreement with me here, and I'm proud of you. I really respect for the work that you've done so far. I read your resume online, and it's you've been through a lot. And let me ask you this. You have a purpose and a cause, obviously, yet you have decided to vie for the nomination for the presidency of based on the Libertarian Party. Why did you do that?
Because I believe that the Libertarian Party, because of its understanding and support for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I believe that the Libertarian Party represents the best hope and the highest hope for this country.
Okay, now, but why did you personally decide to run for the president?
That's a great story, because I was at Hemp Fest in August, the Sunday at 4:20, the holiest time for Seattle Hemp Fest, the biggest legalization gathering in all of North America. And I was being honored by the leaders of our movement, Ed Rosenthal, Keith Stroop, and a number of other people. And in the process, someone suggested that someone like me should run for president. And I began to hear people chanting my name. And then I heard 50,000 people screaming and yelling that I had to run for president. And my friend, I gave in to peer pressure. I figured if that many people felt that strongly, I was going to go for it.
Okay, fair enough. Just let me remind my audience, or our audience at this point, that our telephone number is area code 646-652-4620. If you'd like to call in and ask Mr. Cubby a question, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Now, there are several other libertarian candidates. There's Christine Smith, Phillies, I think his last name is, and I can't think of his first name.
George.
George Phillies, you're right. And there's probably more. How do you set? I'm sorry.
13. There's 13 candidates.
13. Okay. All right. I obviously am very shy. What? How do you intend? I spoke with Christine Smith about a week ago, and she is absolutely convinced that she will get the nomination. How do you feel about that? How do you think you're going to wrap up the nomination? Based on what?
Well, I think everyone has pretty much agreed that this is my nomination to lose. But, you know, it's for a reason. I bring serious political assets to the table. I have name recognition. Google me. Check Wikipedia. You'll see that I'm... at one point, I was the most searched name on the Internet. I have a constituency of drug policy reform people that have passed laws in 13 states and 27 municipalities. This is a very active, well-financed drug policy reform umbrella of organizations that all know me and support me. So I'm bringing in a constituency far larger and more active than the Libertarian Party. In addition to that, I have a track record. People can go and see that I did help write and pass Proposition 215. So these are serious political assets, name recognition, constituency, and track record.
Okay, how about financing? It cost a heck of a lot of money. The best I ever did is I ran for U.S. Congress, and you can find out that gets very, very expensive if you want to be serious about it. How are you doing in that regard, and how are you intent to finance your campaign?
Well, we're doing better than any of the other candidates, according to the FEC filings. But it's very difficult right now in a period after disappointment with the Bad Mary campaign, a lot of people looking at Ron Paul running as a Republican. These events are making it difficult for us to raise money. But I'm happy to say that we just came from the Oregon State Convention. They were very generous with us. We have a number of other conventions to go to, and in that respect, I'm optimistic.
Yeah, well, I for one am an admirer and follower of Ron Paul. I'll be the first to admit I really wish he would have run under the Libertarian Party, though.
Well, that's just the thing. I mean, in order to support Ron Paul, you have to support and vote for the Republican Party, and for those libertarians that I know, that would be such a repugnant thing to have to do that it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
In addition, I do differ from Ron Paul in terms of sexual discrimination, in terms of the woman's right to choose. And I think that Ron Paul is a wonderful man. I think he's done wonderful things, but he's supporting the Republican Party, and for that, I'm sorry, I can't support him.
No, I agree. I think I've been a libertarian for over 20 years, and that is a problem. I think Ron is going to have a heck of a problem because I think most of his admirers are outside of the Republican Party. And not to speak about him, let's talk about you for a second again. Will your campaign, you have some notoriety behind you because of the marijuana issue and whatever, which, by the way, I'm in total agreement with. But, you know, me being a libertarian, I know how we get stereotyped and casted as, we're the group that likes to go in the corner and smoke pot, you know, and we're a monolithic type of, and we can be sort of monolithic politically. How do you intend to convert that to a campaign which addresses the issues that the man on the street, so to speak, can identify with, other than the ones that you've been identified with in the past?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that a lot of the people that aren't voting that would vote if there were something on the ballot worth them voting for are people who are looking at the legalization of marijuana or medical marijuana patients. And as a result of that, these people understand this is no more about marijuana than the Boston Tea Party was about tea.
Agree.
It's about liberty.
I agree.
And if I get accused of being a one-issue candidate, fine. My one issue is liberty. You know, all of us would like to pass something on to our children. Maybe money would be nice. The real estate, that would be nice. But all of it pales compared to liberty. We were given liberty in fairly good condition, a lot of us in the older generation, and we've seen it go down the toilet. And I do not want to pass on to my children a defunct, adulterated, watered-down, worthless form of liberty. I want them to have real liberty, because from real liberty, all of the other blessings of life proceed. And only the Libertarian Party seems to understand that liberty isn't something that the government gives you. It's something that you take and that you insist upon keeping, regardless of what the government has to say.
Okay, so basically, the cornerstone of your campaign will be maintaining our liberties here in the United States, and, well, I guess we have to get them, take them back as well, because we lost most of them.
Well, let me tell you that in the first 5 minutes after I am, if I should be appointed, inaugurated as president, I will have on me Executive Order 13420. Now, I don't know that that's the exact number, but we estimate that based upon the way the executive orders have been issued, that that would be about the number that we'd be looking at. And that executive order would undo what another executive order by Richard Milhouse Nixon created. It would defund the war on drugs, it would dissolve the DEA, and it would set this country back on the road to being a constitutional, law-abiding government.
Okay. When is the convention, the Libertarian Convention? Hello?
Yes, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. I thought I lost you for a moment.
No, the Libertarian Convention is going to be, let me think for a minute. I think it's Memorial Day weekend in June.
Okay. Okay, so you have a few, you have about two, I guess, March, April, May, you have about 3 more months of campaigning, all right? Where are you concentrating most of your efforts right now?
No, we're talking about 208 for the convention. The convention.
Oh, the convention. There's not, there'll be no convention this year at all then, I guess.
No.
Okay, all right.
We're well ahead of the curve.
Okay, all righty. Well, how are you going to proceed with your campaign? Are you using primarily the internet? How are you going to make yourself known to the public so that you can be somewhat competitive in this very crowded field?
Well, again, if you Google me, you'll see that I am well-known, at least on the Internet. And in addition to that, we will depend on the Internet. The Internet, we can't compete against the big parties and the brick-and-mortar world. I mean, they get free everything.
Right.
But we can certainly be competitive against them on the Internet. And with the magic of the Internet, I don't want to give away too much, but we're going to be doing some things that have never been seen in a presidential candidate,
okay,
all due to the magic of the Internet.
Okay. Well, you know, Howard Dean had a lot of luck with that, and it brought him to prominence, and the same could happen to you, and I'm sure it will. Let me ask you a few just quick questions. I have a good idea what the answers are going to be. Give me your quick, your 25 words or less answer on each one. The war, the occupation of Iraq, what do?
We get out now. We have to recognize that whatever mistakes were made, we don't want to make any further mistakes. I don't really care at this point what is good for the Iraqi government or the Iraqi people. I'm concerned about Americans, American families, families that have had their husbands and fathers over there
right,
far too long.
All right, why do you think we're there?
I think they're there because the Bush administration used the war on terror to create terror and bully Americans into giving up their rights and giving up huge...
Why did he do that? What's behind the whole thing, in your opinion?
Power. What is Washington all about? It's a huge magnet for anyone and everyone that craves power.
Okay. All right. The Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve is the first of many, many frauds. It's a beautiful example of the banking industry. Went to a frightened public who wanted to do something to end the monopoly of banks. And so these banks wrote a bogus law that handed over the U.S. currency system to a few wealthy families. And we've seen one piece of corporate legislation after another that pretends to protect people, to help people, when in fact it's written by and intended to protect the very people that everyone says we're now going to be protected from.
What are you going to do about our monetary system? We're now almost $10 trillion in debt and rising. The bureaucracy is just overweighting us tremendously. We're going to be burdened with taxes for the next couple of generations, even if we start whittling it down. What kind of monetary system do you think we should have?
The only monetary system that's ever worked, hard currency. You know, 50 years, 100 years ago, the price of a gun or the price of a loaf of bread was pretty much the same in terms of actual amounts of gold, the same then as it is now. It's just these fiat paper currencies, these fraudulent, bogus schemes by the richest families in the United States through a bogus organization called the Fed, in fact, a private organization. They're loaning money. I mean, imagine us borrowing money from rich families when we could be, when we should be providing our money ourselves. It's complete fraud.
Okay.
And the answer to it is to get off of these bogus fiat currencies by the government, allow hard currencies, internet currencies, private currencies, anything that people want to put their trust in.
Is America, in your opinion, a republic or an empire?
Well, it's clearly an empire. If it were a republic, we would have this cancerous malignancy of a federal government under control instead of being forced to serve it night and day.
Okay. What would you do about all the troops stationed in 130 countries around the world? We have about between 50 and 60 military bases. What would you do about those?
I tell them that the United States is not the world's policeman, that it's time to come home. We have plenty of problems at home. We have natural disasters. They're needed at home now.
You would close them immediately?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Why should we subsidize the defense of these other countries? Let them pay for their own damn defense.
Okay. Immigration.
Immigration's simple. We've got to make it much easier for the good guys to get in and harder for the bad guys to sneak in the back door. And right now, everyone's going in the back door. And the other thing, of course, is we have to end entitlements. Stop dangling all this wonderful bait in front of people so that they'll be more inclined to come into the country the proper way.
Okay, just one second. I'd like to make station identification. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. On the pipe, we have a person who's been a nominee for the President of the United States Libertarian Party, Mr. Steve Cubby, and we're interviewing him. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial area code 646-652-4620. Thank you. Well, Steve, is there any part of the Libertarian platform that you are in disagreement with?
Absolutely not. I think that the Libertarian platform is a platform that will take us back to the Constitution, back to the Bill of Rights, back to a level playing field, open market, fair competition for everyone. This is what our platform is about. And any attempt to dilute it, to somehow make it more palatable to the lame stream, is a mistake.
Do you feel that the state should be condoning or licensing marriages?
No, the state has no business licensing marriages, and it certainly has no business looking up skirts or shorts to determine whether two people are qualified to get married. That's ridiculous. It's discriminatory. It's a witch hunt, and it has to end.
All right. What about... I guess they call it corporate welfare. The other term for it is subsidies to government, subsidies to farmers.
Farmers used to be able to produce fuel, fiber, and medicines. Now they're only allowed to and fuel four things that they were allowed to produce. Now they're only allowed to produce food. We have a vision in the larger context of a hemp economy in which farmers are free to grow fuel, biodiesel, ethanol, fiber. A fiber is far better and longer lasting and far less of an impact on the environment than cotton, as well as the pharmaceuticals that would be available through medical cannabis. We have a very bright future in mind that is a sustainable future that young people should and can get behind.
All right, the public school system.
Well, when you say public schools, what you really mean is government.
Government schools, correct, right.
And this is not what our children deserve. They deserve a real education. Families deserve real options and choices. That means all kinds of different schemes for schools, homeschooling, vouchers, private schools, whatever people want to do. But the government's involvement in education absolutely must end.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, this is an oddball question because I have a few friends of mine who I respect very much, and they're not numb nuts. They're not conspiratorial, people or anything like that. But they have pretty strong convictions about government complicity regarding 9/11, and that 9/11 was used as a springboard for our involvement in Iraq and further government increased government control. What is your opinion of that? Do you have any opinion at all about the reason for 9/11, who was complicit, and the results of that?
Well, whether or not there was a conspiracy before 9/11, there was certainly a conspiracy during 9/11 and after 9/11 to frighten and bully the American people into giving up their civil liberties, handing over their phone records, their personal records, their remaining protections that were still recognized in this country, and that was a use of a war on terror to create terror, and with the Patriot Act in particular, this country went backwards a big, big way in this loss of civil liberty.
Steve, in your opinion, you already voiced your opinion regarding our loss of liberty and that being the paramount to any one single issue. And I have to agree with you there. I mean, that's what my program's all about. I take every issue and I break it down to how it affects our liberties. And I'd like for my audience to start thinking that way rather than thinking issues or parties. I assume that you were not enamored with the minimum wage.
Well, the minimum wage is just one more example of what Milton Friedman called the government consistently working against free markets. And, you know, it's like health care. If you think health care is expensive now, wait until it's free, because the costs are going to skyrocket. They skyrocket every time the government gets involved with the economy. The U.S. government, the U.S. economy is a world leader, not because of the U.S. government, but in spite of the U.S. government.
Okay. Assuming that you were elected president, in your inaugural address, what would you say to the nation?
I'd say it's time for this country to be true to the high standards that were set by the founding fathers. Yes, they were slave owners. Yes, they didn't give women the vote, but they set a very, very high standard for what a society should be willing to do to recognize the rights of free people in a free society. And that's where we have to take it.
What would you say to those people for... I'm sorry. I apologize. I interrupted you, Steve.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. What would you say to those people who are right now suffering the aftermath of Katrina?
I'd apologize, first of all, for the outrageous and horrible behavior of their government. And I would explain to other people that this is what happens when something as important as relief is left in the hands of politicians and of the federal government. And I would tell these people that our country is only as strong as our ability to help people in natural disasters, and that a lot of political turmoil in the past has been the result of the government failing to address natural disasters, and that it is vital that these people receive basic sanitation and assistance in that respect. We've got to let the private agencies job, not the federal government.
Okay, so you would have preferred that back in the old days, locally people picked themselves up, rebuilt what they had local institutions assisting the people, and whoever wanted a volunteer came down and helped and put everything back together again. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion if we would have done that and there was not one dime of federal aid, we'd be a lot further on than we are today.
You know, it's a sad statement of where we're at today in society, but it's true.
Steve, we're about out of time. I want to thank you very much. Is there any closing comments that you'd like to make to our audience, please?
Well, I'd like to invite people to come to our website, cubby2008.com. I do a weekly fireside chat / podcast where I deal with the entire range of issues that are facing all Americans, with a real emphasis on the libertarian solutions that we have. And I would invite people to participate. You know, this isn't about me. This is about you. This is about you getting an opportunity to have a real choice on the ballot, someone that is not bought and paid for by the current political establishment, someone that does have a track record of passing pro-freedom legislation, someone that has gone to jail to stand up for people's personal freedom.
Okay. By the way, I have a personal. Do you know a gentleman by the name of Roger Bloxam?
I have never heard that name.
Okay. Well, he's from California. He also wound up in jail. He's a good friend of mine. He's very ill right now. He's on in years, and he's truly a great American. And I just was wondering, since you're out there, whether or not you knew him at all. Okay. Okay, Steve, I want to thank you so much for being on our program. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Steve Cubby. He's running for the nomination for the presidency of the United States on the Libertarian Party. Steve, we wish you all the luck in the world, and I look forward to seeing and hearing about your campaign in the future.
Let freedom grow.
Thank you very much, Steve, and good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. And this is the end of our broadcast, but before we do, I'd like to mention that Thursday at 6:30 a.m., we're going to be discussing some issues regarding your liberties, issues regarding liberties. And let me remind you that this station does not promote particular issues in and of themselves, and neither do we take issue with particular individuals. We may mention individuals, we may talk about what their stance is, but basically what we are trying to do is try to take issues and identify how they affect your liberties and how maybe we should think about them to so we can protect our liberties. We would like for you to listen in, and we'd also like for you to respond, because then it helps us understand here at the station, helps us understand, you know, what is on your mind, and it helps us clarify. We wish this was more of a two-way conversation rather than a one-way conversation. We just get wonderful email. We'd love more. Okay, so let me encourage you to do that. All right, we're going to play our bumper song, so please be with us live on Thursday morning. This would be Thursday the 15th at 6:30 a.m. Okay, and here's our bumper song again. Here we go. Okay, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Steve Cubby for being our guest this evening. Steve, good luck on your quest for the presidency of the United States. I look forward to you winning. We'd also like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to area code 903-551-2186. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.